Well, while we wait for the president's plans on climate change, we know his proposal to cut food stamps. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, provides less than $2 per person per meal, but 44 million Americans received it in 2016. The bulk, 4 out of 5 of them, were children, seniors, the disabled, and poor working parents. The remainder are able-bodied, non-working, childless adults, and the president's proposed budget would expand a work requirement for them. It would also cut the total program by $192 billion over the next 10 years to cut out fraud and abuse. So how much is there? Diane Whitmore-Schatzenbach is with the Brookings Institution. Professor Diane, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Professor, let's get right to the criticism from people like Ed Fulner, who's founder of the Heritage Foundation, who says there's been an uptick in the number of working-age, able-bodied adults on SNAP who are not working. And this is because he and others attribute this to the fact that there was a waiver of the work requirement during the Great Recession for these able-bodied adults because there were no jobs. You know, he and others are saying, take that waiver away, put the work requirement back. What's wrong with that?
The way that the program is supposed to work is to be able to expand in times of bad economic downturns and retract in good economic times. And so under the current design of the program, many places that had temporary waivers of these time limits for working-age, able-bodied adults are seeing those time limits reinstated. And that's just the normal operating procedure of SNAP now. When times are good, time limit gets reinstated, and when times are bad, when jobs are not plentiful, we will no longer enforce this time limit just temporarily until the economy turns back around. And I'll remind you that over the last couple of years, we've seen a steady decline in the number of people who are participating in SNAP because the economy has started cooking again and more people have been able to get jobs and, you know, get back into the economy and not rely on these benefits anymore.
That's true. The number did drop in 2014. The arc is down. However, it has shot up so high, and that's where the concern is. What is the sense of fraud and abuse?
The Department of Agriculture keeps good statistics on fraud and abuse, and they're at all-time lows. So the numbers are on the order of 2 or 3%. So this is really a model of a program that is well-functioning.
Well, what about the way SNAP money is used? The USDA released data from a leading grocery store in 2011. It showed that SNAP households spent $1.9 billion, or about 20% of food stamps, on sweetened beverages, frozen prepared food desserts, high-fat dairy. Some states, Arkansas, Tennessee, are asking that these foods be banned from the program. Thoughts?
What's important to understand is that most families combine their SNAP benefits with their other cash resources. So when they go to the grocery store, you know, only a fraction of what they're buying in total is coming from their SNAP benefits. And then they also use, you know, their earnings or, you know, other sources to buy their total grocery cart. So on average, SNAP participants spend about $14 a month on sugar-sweetened beverages. Banning the purchase of that from food stamps will, at least we predict, will have people shift from using the SNAP benefits to purchase that $14 worth of soda and using their own cash instead. So yeah. You know, even though it seems like it's a good idea, in practice, I think it's unlikely to change behavior.
What about Wisconsin's governor, Scott Walker? He's proposing drug testing able-bodied recipients of food stamps in his state. Now, officials at the USDA say it's illegal. But this idea of somehow tying behavior to receipt of a benefit, do we know if that works?
I think there's evidence from other social welfare programs that indicate that very, very few people, when subject to these random drug tests, you know, are kicked off the program, come up positive, et cetera. So I think generally economists think that those types of programs aren't worth their cost.
Well, and the move by the president and the White House is to get people off of food stamps to work. We've already said, you know, a huge number of food stamp recipients are already working. The amount of money received with food stamps is really quite small, a few hundred dollars a month for a family. Obviously, you know, very useful. But
you wouldn't want to live on it.
Right. And most people have to work who receive the food stamps. But the LA Times reported this week that Los Angeles County officials are trying to get more people enrolled in the food stamp program there. That's CalFresh. Only 66% of Californians who are eligible are enrolled. Now, other states, let's say Tennessee enrolls 99%. Oregon has 100% of eligible recipients, it claims, on the rolls. But at least in one state, not even everyone who could qualify has applied.
That's right. In many cases, when people don't take up these SNAP benefits and so on, it's often because they're eligible for relatively modest amounts. So, you know, a lot of times that's the minimum of $16 per month. And so you can imagine that in some cases, you know, people will say, oh, that's not worth my time. It's such a modest amount. But there are other drivers as well, and that includes stigma and just the time cost of having to go down to the benefits office, which is increasingly difficult when more and more people on this program are also working.
That's Diane Whitmore-Schatzenbach of the Brookings Institution. She's also a social policy professor at Northwestern University. Professor Diane, thank you.
Thank you.